Welcome to Forgotten Women, the feminist podcast that brings history to life. We are celebrating women who rebelled, protested, and campaigned for social justice in 20th century Britain. So many activists, especially self-identifying women and non-binary folks, have been missed out of those history books, and we want to change that. Each of our episodes are recorded live in front of a studio audience, and each episode covers a different moment in modern history. This episode celebrates the feminist magazine Spare Rib, using the original articles and features. This is Forgotten Women, and we're making history. Spare Rib.
Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up that place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man."
Welcome to Forgotten Women, a podcast that celebrates the women who have been pushed into the margins of history.
This episode is about the groundbreaking feminist magazine, Spare Rib, founded by Rosie Boycott and Marcia Rowe.
The magazine was an active part of the women's liberation movement and ran from 1972 to 1993. It sought to challenge female stereotypes and centre the female experience.
Where other women's magazines of the 1970s focused on romance and beauty, Spare Rib was a battle cry. At a time when women's position in society was starting to change, Spare Rib shone a spotlight on female exploitation.
This episode is made from pulling straight out of the archives of Spare Rib across the two decades it ran for.
"Liberation," the lady said. "Rubbish," we thought. Then we thought some more. Then we talked some more. Then we came together. That was it. Spare Rib is the result.
Feature: What Offends One of Us Won't Offend the Next Chap, by Jill Nichols.
I'm alone in the underground waiting for a train. All around me are huge images of female parts. Giant rubbery peach-toned breasts, wet lips, denim bums, damp-looking stomachs, long legs in high heels.
Hundreds of women take them off for us every day.
I don't know where to look. That doesn't make me feel angry or vulnerable. A man comes into the tunnel and looks me up and down. All these ads are like his gang, telling him I am a cunt thing, a leg thing, a breast thing, and that I am waiting for him. He is psyched up to think that he has a right to me. My mother used to say it was a great relief to her being an old woman because men left her alone. So I am careful to conceal my youth, never to look like those ads. When it's hot, I don't wear shorts because it isn't safe. I become a leg thing. Even in a t-shirt, one becomes a tit thing, ogled, mocked, prodded. Winter means armour of boots, coat, hat and relative safety. But there are no summer clothes behind which to hide your body. Sexist ads exploit all women. Even if you don't identify yourself with those ads, men do. Advertising is an incredibly powerful agent of male supremacy.
Advertisements.
To place your advertisements and reach 90,000 women, write to Appointments, Spare Rib, 27 Clerkenwell Close, London.
Do you wish you had gone to university? Have you ever wished you had stayed in school and completed your exams? The University Preparation Course at City and East London College offers a second chance to students with potential but without the right GCE qualifications. Successful completion of the course, full-time or part-time, admits to the University of Essex or possibly to other universities or polytechnics. Apply to Martin Cave, City and East London College, Pitfield Street, and attend meeting on Thursday, 24th of January at 6 p.m.
Centre for Alternative Technology, Powys, Wales. We run weekend courses on wind power, organic gardening, healing herbs, help build, and much more. We can also take volunteers for 1 or 2 weeks. Send SAE for details.
Letters.
1973.
Dear Spare Rib, congratulations on your first birthday. I hope you have many more. I recently bought a car, my money, and registered in my name. But when I tried to get insurance cover, I found, because I happened to be married and still living with my husband, the two firms I contacted asked for an accompanying declaration from him. With the first, Commercial Union, I was so stunned I refused to have any more to do with them. But since then, I've had enormous problems getting anyone to cover me. When the co-op insurance were prepared to cover me, I gritted my teeth and got him to fill in his part. As it happens, he is quite happy to do this. But suppose he hadn't wanted me to drive. I made several comments to the agent on this, and evidently it would have been accepted from me alone if I'd been divorced or widowed. As I need transport badly, I haven't been too rude, but do feel this is something that is ridiculous and needs attacking. Yours sincerely, Pamela Johnson, Surrey.
Feature: Take Your Myth by Posy Simmons.
Once upon a time, the female body was such a source of mystery and imagination. The terrible legends grew up about the weeping womb and voracious vagina. People believed that menstrual blood was an evil substance, a devil's offering. They thought the womb to be a stale, infested swamp filled with the odor of decay. Now, of course, everything is different. We all know our own bodies. We are quite capable of distinguishing fact from fantasy. We can perceive ourselves clearly, free from the fog of fable and the muddle of myth. Or can we? For however well informed we are, most of us have acquired our early body knowledge through an oral culture passed on by our misinformed parents and friends. Taboos and terror stories were inevitably mixed in with the more valuable knowledge. It is wrong, we are told, to have a bath, go swimming, and wash your hair at that time of the month. Spots and greasy hair indicated that the body was getting rid of the badness in it. Games mistresses advocated a quick run round the hockey pitch to cure stomach cramps and make the blood run faster. Masturbation meant abnormal relations, madness and blindness. If you crossed your legs during intercourse, the man would get stuck inside you. You could get pregnant by sitting on a man's knee, but not by having intercourse standing up. All women went mad during the menopause. Some myths were inevitably discarded in the face of a stronger reality, but many others, it seems, linger on in the subconscious or are replaced by a perception of our bodies that is at best woolly. If you think you're entirely free of such superstitious ignorance, then check your reactions to the following questions. Any hesitations, and the chances are that you do not know your bodies as well as you think you do.
Questions.
1. Is it normal for one breast to grow before the other in adolescence?
2. Is it common for women to have long hairs around their nipples?
3. Do breasts have any elasticity?
4. How big is the average womb?
5. Can intercourse stimulate ovulation?
Answers.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Pear-sized. On occasion.
Spare Rib is planning an inquiry into the myths that still surround the modern woman. Readers are invited to send in details of their own experiences in this field. These can include superstitions about pregnancy, childbirth, menstruation and the menopause, concepts of cleanliness and uncleanliness, attitudes of men and children to the female functions, observed class or regional differences in bodily perception. Letters should be sent to Body Myths, Spare Rib, 7 Newborough Street, London, W1A4XS.
Notices.
Intensive driving course in Norfolk. Caring woman instructor. Comfortable accommodation. Phone Jill 0379-676-295.
Peak District, Old Station House. Women run B&B. Vegetarian meals available. 0629-732987.
Lavender Lesbian List. New and recommended books for lesbians. 6 times a year, fast and efficient and friendly books by post service. SAE please to Western Wild Bookshop, 25A Dundas Street, Edinburgh, EH3 6QQ.
Letter, 1985.
Dear Spare Rib, we read with interest Susan Ardill's article on AIDS. We were quietly drinking in a local pub last week when at the other end of the bar, men and women began jumping up, pushing their tables away, screaming and shouting. A woman ran through the crowd and out of the pub with these people, about 30 of them in pursuit. Someone then announced to us that the woman they were chasing was a lesbian, that she had no right to be drinking in the pub, and that we had all probably got AIDS as a consequence. The press must be pleased to know that their hysteria tactics are working so well. Margaret Lewis and Kim Laffin, Hackney.
Feature. How I Survived AIDS by positively Women Living with AIDS.
At 19:37 a.m. on Monday the 8th of June, which also happens to be my birthday, my doctor told me I had AIDS. The first person I went to was my brother. I told him I was thinking of killing myself.
Why bother? You already have.
That was 6 years ago. You see, the problem at the time was that no one, not the doctors, not the media, nor the public, really knew enough about HIV infection or AIDS, or even if there was a difference. The only thing they were certain of was that if you caught it in no time at all, you were dead. 1 year later, I wasn't dead. It was around this time that I first came into contact with London Lighthouse. I remember the phone call vividly. "I think I'm dying," I blurted down the receiver.
"Don't worry. That's what I said when I first phoned."
Suddenly, I was back in reality. I wasn't the only person in the world with the virus. A day later, I was one of a dozen me's perched on beanbags, drinking coffee and exercising demons. I was amongst new friends. Well, let's face it, most of the old ones scarpered in the time it takes to say acquired immune deficiency syndrome. The difference with these people was that they were there to listen, really listen, with open hearts. AIDS never hurt me maliciously, people did. You see, London Lighthouse restored my self-respect. I never thought I was much of an artist, but with a little encouragement from one of the painting therapists, I uncovered a hidden talent. I've even dabbled in pastimes like a night at the theatre or a game of Monopoly, as long as I'm the top hat. Pleasures I'd forgotten how to savour. My renaissance is complete. Yes, sometimes I get ill, but these days symptoms of AIDS, which at the end of the day are most likely to kill you, are being treated with increasing success. The challenge of AIDS has brought out the real person in me. More honest, more positive, more assertive. London Lighthouse worked miracles for me. Now I work with the Lighthouse. I've got a new career out in the community helping men and women affected by HIV and AIDS to face up to it like I did. Not as a victim dying, but as a person living. As for the future, well, I've already paid for next year's holiday. I'm going to Cornwall to celebrate my birthday.
Notices. Women's Adventure Trekking. Departures Xmas, Easter, August, October. Nepal and India Himalaya. 0316 611 959.
Pregnant, single, support group starting, South London, 018 692 0761.
Women plaster and decorators, sitting guilds qualified, clean, tidy and very reliable, London 081 520 9264.
Desperately seeking furniture.
Young lesbian couple trying to set up house in London.
Need almost everything.
If it's free.
Or very cheap.
We can pick up.
Please help.
Box 974.
1988. Feminist Book Fortnight Events.
The major annual promotion of feminist writing and publishing will take place this year from the 28th of May to the 12th of June.
Friday, 20th of May, 7:30. Andrea Dworkin will be discussing her book, Intercourse, at Deptford Book Traders.
Thursday, 26th May, 7. Virago Press are proud to launch Across the Water, Irish Women's Lives in Britain at Green Ink Bookshop, Archway Shopping Centre, N19, London.
Tuesday, 31st of May. Lunchtime signing by Maya Angelou at Waterston's Bookshop, 114 George Street, Edinburgh.
Monday, 6th of June, 7 to 8 p.m. Women's Voice and Music Workshop with Over at Highgate Library, Chester Road, London.
Tuesday, 14th of June, 2 p.m. The Asian Women's Writers Group will read and discuss their work at Essex Institute, Sawyers Hall Lane, Brentwood.
Letter, 1992. Dear Spare Rib, I've been buying spare rib for 15 years and it's never been better than now. Your bias towards non-European, non-Christian, non-materialist cultures is such a relief. So many non-white faces, non-white voices being seen and heard at last. In Spare Rib, I can find not just about the painful facts about the present, but hope for the future. It's the most revolutionary magazine on the newsstand. Spare Rib is empowering me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. There's such an uprising of women's spiritualist and sexuality happening. So much long-suppressed energy rising to the surface. It's so exciting. With best wishes to you all, and thanks for all the work you do every month to get a great magazine out to us, Rowan.
Feature, the happy-go-lucky abortionist.
I know what abortion is. Abortion is the killing of unborn children, tearing them limb from limb.
Her brother pulled a grubby, crumpled photo of a 16-week-old fetus from his pocket to show me. He'd been given it at school. Meanwhile, a gynecologist was telling the crowd gathered at Liverpool's pierhead how, before he'd been able to dispose of an aborted fetus, it had...
Cried, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, cried.
Horrified murmurs from the 40,000 who had gathered in Liverpool on that blustery Sunday afternoon to have their prejudice against abortion reinforced. With this kind of sensationalism surrounding the whole question of abortion, it's strangely disconcerting to find the new Liverpool branch of the British Pregnancy Advisory Service, run by Kay Day, functioning with such quiet efficiency. In the 2 short months since it opened, the Merseyside service has built up a weekly turnover of more than 60 patients.
It's £10 for the consultation. That pays for the doctor's examination, lab tests and counsellor's fees. The operation will cost you £50. You can discuss that with the counsellor when you come. If there's any financial burden, embarrassment, we do have a loan scheme.
We go into her office. She looks at me brightly, something between a young aunt and a games mistress, and launches into facts.
Where do our patients come from? 99% of them are referred to us by GPs who can't fix national health operations for them. The organisation is very well run. We've got 8 doctors working for us here, 2 counsellors, the nurse and the receptionist. The girl sees the counsellor first to discuss the reasons for termination. Then she'll see the doctor. We do like her to see her own GP, but some girls don't want to go to the family doctor for various reasons. That's all right. We can get 2 of the doctors here to sign the form. It's all very simple, very smooth. We had a girl ring up on Wednesday and she's already booked in the clinic for Saturday.
Do girls ever want to discuss the abortion with you?
What does the operation actually mean to them?
She looks taken aback.
Well, I don't think girls who come in here are thinking of a baby. They simply haven't had their period and they want to get back to normal as quickly as possible.
I probe some more. How are the girls emotionally affected by the operation? How about those with money problems, family difficulties, religious doubts? Kay seems at a bit of a loss. Few girls do have any difficulty producing the 50 quid, it seems. They do pour out problems, yes. Asking girls why they had sexual intercourse, that kind of thing.
I'm a happy-go-lucky myself, and I think that's a good way to be in this job. You can't get too involved.
Minor strike. Winter Appeal, 1985.
Freezing weather brings hope for victory, but it's the grimmest time of the strike so far for the families. They are in desperate need of money for heating and warm clothes, especially for the children who have grown out of everything they had at the start of the strike. Make cheques payable to Women Against Pit Closures and send to Jean McCrindle, NUM, St James's House, Vicar Lane, Sheffield.
Poem, Beauty Counter Encounter by Celia Roberts.
I feel like a man when I'm with you, with your platinum blonde hair and your scarlet dipped fingers. I sit a wedge-shaped block with little blackcurrant eyes. I feel I'm in drag when I'm with you, with your new dress yielding and every curve displayed discreetly. My voice sounds like the mud you churn up with your stiletto heels. I feel like a dog when I'm with you, with your half smiles bestowed and your oh so simples, glittering and stalking, blocking off my sunlight. I feel like a man when I'm with you.
Liberation, the lady said.
Rubbish, we thought.
Then we thought some more.
Then we talked some more.
Then we came together. That was it.
Spare rib is the result.
We are not attempting the impossible. To try to explain women's liberation in one quick, easy lesson would be both ludicrous and wrong.
Its basis is small group meetings and a magazine cannot achieve that necessary personal communication. What we can do is reflect the questions, ideas, and hope that is growing out of our awareness of ourselves, not as a bunch of women, but as individuals in our own right.
It was startling to realise that we could not buy any publication which discussed what we felt to be vital issues, and so Spare Rib is a beginning.
We have tried to create a magazine that is fluid enough to publish work by contributors who have not written before, as well as by women and men who are successful journalists and writers.
We are waiting with bated breath for your reactions.
Spare Rib was collated and edited by Rebecca Alloway, Joshua Moore, and Ellie Short. This episode was directed and produced by me, Rebecca Alloway. Sound design was composed and performed by the wonderful Anna Clock. The technician was Mike Taylor. The cast were Liam Beard, Nancy Hannigan, Kate Milam, Joshua Moore, Susan Salmon, Ellie Short, Casey Smith, Eleanor Stock, Rosanna Weber, and Abby Wilkinson. Special thanks to all the contributors of Spare Rib. This podcast is funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund and Arts Council England. Forgotten Women is a collaboration between Peer Productions and Bishopsgate Institute. This is our last ever episode, so thank you so much for listening. None of this would be possible without the advice and guidance of Dr. Michelle Johansson, as well as the fantastic young people who have all collaborated on this project. For more information, visit our website www.forgottenwomen.co.uk or find us on social media. For now, goodbye.